If we try to do things our way, we start to lose it. Only through the word of God can we retain the blessings of God. God wants to bless you, but he wants to make sure that when he blesses you, you could hold on to the blessing.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Surrender and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today is surrender. Key verse is James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for this gathering. Father, I pray that you will open up our hearts so that we may receive your word today, retain your word today, and spread your word out there, God, to the world. Father, I pray that you will anoint me so that I may speak your words and not my own. In your son's precious name, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Woo! Surrender. Surrender. You know, it's hard to surrender. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to surrender. The flesh wants to do things. The devil's telling you to do things. And wow, when God suggests things, we often rebel. We often rebel. But it's important that we learn this concept of surrender because it is going to save you a lot of trouble in your future. So let's go through some key points about surrendering. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. That's what the word actually means. Christian means to be Christ-like. Christ surrendered his life over to the Father. Christians must do the same. If we are to be Christ-like, we are to follow his example, and we are to do what Jesus did. Jesus did it by surrendering. Not his will be done, but the Father's will. That's what we must be like. So number one, we must surrender our sin to him. So you can't even get started in the other stuff until you get this point down. We have to surrender our sin to him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen to this scripture. If we confess. You see, there's a condition in many of the Bible promises. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand. The Bible has all these promises, but I don't seem to be getting any of them. Well, you have to look at some of the conditions. First of all, if you want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, you have to do what? You have to confess your sins. This does not mean you come to God and tell him that you've been doing wrong because, and then make an excuse, passing the buck. Well, I'd be a better Christian if I just didn't have these people in my lives that's driving me crazy. That's not an excuse to sin. Lord, I wouldn't cheat if I just had more money. That's not an excuse. We have to come to God and we have to confess our sins humbly in surrender. Then we have to ask God to take those sins away because, listen, there are sins we surrender to God and there are some we hold on to. Hear me on this. You can come to God and you can tell him about some of the stuff that you know is really bad for you. And then when it starts to hurt you, you'll come to him and say, oh, I'm sorry. Because you want out of the hurt that the sin is causing you. But you leave off the table all the other things that got you to the sin that's got you in the trouble. See, it's not always just one sin that's causing the problem. It's all sin. We have to surrender all sin over to Him. We can't pick and choose when we come to God. Yet, as human beings, we tend to do that. And that's unhealthy for us spiritually. It's unhealthy for us to come to God and just tell Him about the stuff that we want to let go of, but hold on to the stuff that we're still finding pleasure in. How many of you know that there is pleasure in some sin for a season? There is. There's pleasure in adultery for a season, but it will catch up with you. There's pleasure in drugs for a season, but it will consume you. There's pleasure in cheating, dishonesty for a season. There's pleasure in gossiping and slandering people. Some people actually enjoy that, but it'll come back on you. When we come to God, we need to give Him everything, all of our sins, and holding nothing back. The key to surrendering our sins is found in Christ and in God's Word. Understand that without Jesus, you cannot have God's Word. You need Jesus inside of you. Once you get Jesus inside of you, you could start looking at some of these scriptures I have here for you. And as we go through these scriptures here today, you'll see some words underlined. That's not the original scripture. The original scripture doesn't have the underlining. I put it there for a stress point. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody say, follow Christ. Okay, if you want to surrender your sins over to God, you need to follow Jesus. Now, why is that so important, Pastor? Because listen, the people you follow in your life are going to lead you places. I don't care who it is you're following, you're going to go somewhere if you're following them. If you're following Jesus, He's not going to lead you into sin. He's never going to take you there. Now, you could hook up with a friend and they could tell you, come on over to my place and let's party. And there ain't nothing wrong with parties. We had one here last Thursday. But it depends on what's going on at that party. Praise the Lord. So if you're following Jesus, you're not going to run into any sin because He's not going to lead you into temptation. He won't do that to you. It's only when you step away from the following of Christ that you're going to find yourself in some dark places with some wrong people. If you're following anyone or anything besides Jesus Christ, you're going down the wrong path. So if you want to surrender, you need to start following Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 says, this is the second principle of surrendering your sins, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Giving thanks to God. If you're really thankful for what somebody has done for you, you will thank them. You won't look at your life and point out all the negative things that's going on and say, well, I'll thank you when all of that's fixed. Jesus Christ died for our sins once and for all. God's Son, that's what we thank Him for. We thank Him for Jesus Christ. If God never does another thing for you for the rest of your life, He's already done more than you deserve. We start with the thanks. Thank you, God, because I should be in hell. I should have been struck down. I should have been forgotten about you. But you didn't forget about me even when I wasn't even thinking about you. You came over here and you saved me when I wasn't even thinking about being saved. Thank you, God. We got to get a thankful heart. When you start thinking God, you start realizing your life ain't so bad. If you think your life is bad now, wait until you see the people burning in hell when Jesus comes back. I know a lot of preachers don't talk about hell anymore, but my Bible still talks about it. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And he wanted people to see the gift that God was giving them, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. Now, I don't think there's anybody in here going to perish. I believe we're all saved by the grace of God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has worked something out in this church. Our third verse for surrendering sin is John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Listen, if you keep your eyes on God, you ain't going to sin, because you ain't never going to see him sinning. And the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. If you are a son of God, you will be doing what God does. You will take after your father. And if you're watching your father, you will follow his example. You won't see God sinning. Jesus never saw the Father sinning. Therefore, he never sinned. He could only do what he saw the Father doing. What does that tell you about Jesus? He was surrendered. If that's all he could do is what he saw the Father doing, he must have been surrendered to the will of the Father. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. We pick up our Bibles and we read what God is doing. We read what God likes from us. We see in the Bible what God does in the lives of people. And we do likewise. We love them. We care for them. We stop judging them. We stop slandering them. We take care of them. We pray for them. Number two, we must surrender our will to him. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Let me tell you something. There's going to be people standing in the presence of Christ who thought they had it going on with God because they could preach up a storm, they could talk up a storm, and they did, quote, good deeds. But let me tell you something. Jesus said that those who do the will of his Father are the ones getting in. So you can sit in church all you want. You can talk about the Bible all you like. If you're not doing the will of God, you're in trouble. Because you have to ask yourself, do I really belong to the family that God has placed in my life called the church? See, this is a church, but the people are the church. Are you a part of that body? Are you doing the will of God? Praise the Lord. Are you surrendering your dreams, your talents, your everything, your will to the Father? Or are you only stepping up to the plate when it's convenient and something for you? Doing God's will is not easy. See, we're not saying it's easy up here, are we? We must pray that we will do it. I don't always want to do what God is asking me to do. That is not a condition in the Bible that I gotta want to. The condition is I gotta do it. If I want the blessings, not salvation, the blessings. Matthew 6:10, Jesus prayed this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the formula for prayer. We don't say it verbatim. It's not something that we just recite and get a magic bullet from God. No. But this is in the manner that we should pray. What Jesus is saying, that it's God's kingdom to come. Not yours, not mine, not ours. It's God's kingdom that's on the way. So why are we so busy building up our lives? Why are we so busy doing that when it's his kingdom? Then it says that it is God's will that should be done. Not mine, not yours, not ours. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that in heaven there's no arguments with God? God speaks and the angels do. The last angel that said he wasn't going to listen to God got thrown out. What was his name? Lucifer. He got a new name called Satan, means the accuser. Didn't work out too good for him not doing the will of God, did it? And when he stood up against God, he was out. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning out of heaven. The moment sin entered his heart, he was gone. See, God can't be next to sin. So you got to surrender it. You got to surrender it. You got to quit holding on to it. Having good intentions to do God's will is not the same thing as doing it. How many of you guys have heard this one? I'll be there for you. How many times have you guys heard somebody say, you can count on me? And then you call them up and they see you on the caller ID, they're not answering. And how many times have we done it to people? Having good intentions to do God's will is not the same thing as doing it. You could sit there all day long and say, Lord, I'll get around to it, God. I really want to do it, God. Oh, I'll do anything you ask me, God. But listen, you got to do it. You got to beat your body into submission if you have to, but you got to do what God is asking you to do if you want a blessed life. I want to see you blessed. I want to see God elevate you. I want to see God blessing you. I want to see God bringing you into victory. I don't want to see a defeated church, least of all my own. I want to see victory in this church. And we do have victory in the places where we see the obedience and the surrender. Oh, here's a good one. I like this parable. It's the parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31. Jesus is telling us a parable of two sons. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Let that sink in for a minute. See, God might ask you to do something, and you may struggle with it. And you may say in your heart, I'm not doing it. But then you think about it, and the Holy Spirit comes to you, and he starts working on you. And you have a change of heart. Maybe you've been living a life unworthy of the call of God. But you've changed your ways. And you said, you know what? From this day forward, I will do the will of my Father. I will set my sin aside. It's not too late for me. I will surrender today. A person like that will see heaven before a person who runs around saying, I will, I will, I will, when. We always like to put it off, don't we? I'll get to that when I got more time. I'll get to that when I've got more money. I'll get to that when I have more resources. I'll get to that when I've had all my fun and I can't have no more fun anymore. It could be too late for you by then. If you don't give up your sin today, whatever it may be, that sin could corrupt you further, could consume you further. Don't you understand that sin eats you from the inside out? Don't you understand there's a Bible verse that talks about how when people don't give that up, the Lord gives them over to a debased mind? Sin corrupts your head. How come you? Any of you guys ever see people that have been in and out of prison their whole lives and they're in their 50s and 60s and they've been nothing but in jail because they've been doing nothing but criminal activities and sinning left and right? They're crazy. They need to be. The sin has corroded their brain. It just warps them. And they can't be good to save their own life. Have you guys ever met somebody that could not behave? They just can't help themselves. Because the more they do it, the more that sin eats at their thinking. Eats at their spirit. And by the time you come along and you see this person, you're like, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this woman? Sin. They never surrendered it. It just ate at them and ate at them. It changes you. It changes you. You have to surrender it by doing the will of God. Third, we must surrender our bodies to him. Romans 12, 1. This is Paul speaking. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let me tell you something. You got to take care of yourselves physically. You also got to watch what you say, what comes out of your mouth. You also got to watch the people you're hanging around with because they can influence you. You also got to watch the things that you listen to, the things that you watch on TV. This stuff is going into you. It's programming you. So listen, our bodies need to be a living sacrifice to God. Aren't you glad he didn't say a dead sacrifice? Whew. Thank you, God. Thank you. Our bodies include our eyes, our ears, and our actions. Okay? You're responsible for your body. Don't believe it? Next time somebody touches you, you don't want touching you, you'll say, don't touch me. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Yes, you're in charge of your body, so don't say the devil made you do it. Okay, four, we must surrender our minds to him. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't be thinking about the bad stuff. Why are you dwelling on the bad? Somebody hurt your feelings and you got to think about it all night long, arguing with them in your sleep, waking up from it. Somebody's attacking you. Somebody's after you and you just want to dwell on the outcome. What if they get away with it? Man, your God is a shield. Think about that. If God be for you, what can man do against you? But look at this. What is true? Jesus. Think about him. What is honorable? Jesus. Think about him. Who is just? Think about him. Who is pure? Jesus. Think about him. Who's lovely? Jesus. Think about him. Who's commendable? Jesus. Think about him. Who's excellent? Jesus. Think about him. Who's worthy of praise? Jesus. Think about him. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the one pure, lovely, honorable, commendable, just thing that you have that's been given to you freely, and you'll forget about all those other problems. Because Satan wants to take you away from that thought, because that thought describes Jesus Christ. And he wants you to stop thinking about Christ. And he wants you to start thinking about the woes and the worries that he wants to place in your mind. But when you surrender your mind over to Jesus, you're thinking about Jesus. I think about the things that I give myself over to. If I was to give myself over to alcohol, which I do not, I would be thinking about alcohol. If I gave myself over to drugs, I would be thinking about drugs. If I gave myself over to pornography, I would be thinking about pornography. But I do not. I give myself to Jesus. And that is who I think about. The world and sin have polluted our thinking. We must renew our minds in Christ Jesus. It's not too late. You can start today. You can get into the Bible. You can get into prayer. And you need to stay in church. And God can fix you. I can't fix you. You can't fix you. Your family can't fix you. Your friends can't fix you. But if you surrender it to God, he will fix you. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Everybody say renewal of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I put Jesus to the test, and he passed every one of them. And he is the one who is honorable. He is the one that is worthy. He is the one that is lovely. He is the one that is perfect. So my mind has been surrendered to him because that's who and what I want to think about. We must surrender our lives to him. Number five, we must surrender our lives. our whole beings. Luke 17:33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Try to hold on to Jell-O. The harder you squeeze, the more of it goes through your fingers. Amen. Try to hold on to sand, it just slips through your fingers. With our lives, if we try to hold on to any part that is not of Jesus, we start to lose it. If we try to save ourselves with works, we lose our life. Because it's by grace we are saved, lest anyone boast. If we try to do things our way, whether it be ministry, our jobs, our relationships, we start to lose it. Because only through the word of God can we retain the blessings of God. God wants to bless you. But he wants to make sure that when he blesses you, you could hold on to the blessing. You could pray for things in your life. And God may not bring them because he knows you will not hold on to them through his word. But if you surrender your life over to him, you will keep it. Anything you want from God, give it to him, and he will keep it for you, and he will keep it safe. God wants every bit of you and me. He is very jealous for us. Now, we're not talking about the kind of jealous that when I see someone driving down the road in a nice car, I want it. Not that kind of jealousy. Okay? We're talking about God wants all of you. He doesn't want you in the things you're not supposed to be into. He doesn't want you reading your fortune cookies. He doesn't want you reading horoscopes on Facebook and posting them for everybody to see, witchcraft. He wants you to be reading the Bible. He wants you to be posting Bible scriptures, Bible promises. He wants you to be speaking about what he has promised you. Not what some horoscope told you. Not what some person on television is teaching you, but what the Bible is teaching you. He's jealous for you. He loves you. He cares so much about you that he gave up his son so he could have you. And I'm not even worth one drop of blood from Jesus. But to God, I'm priceless. Because Jesus is priceless. And he surrendered Jesus over to me because of my sin. He gave Jesus for me because of my sin. Not the other way around. It wasn't because I was perfect. It wasn't because I was so great that he wanted me so bad. It's because I was so lost, he had to find me. And the only way he could find me was to forgive me first. We're all forgiven if we just accept it. But we have to give our life over to God. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Make no mistake, nothing, no one is ever going to get into the way of how much God loves you. If God wants to reach you, he will plow right through your life. He will remove anyone or anything out of your life to get to you. Make it easy on him. Make it easy on yourself. Just surrender yourself to God. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. You're only struggling against yourself. God doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to love you. God doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to save you. God doesn't want to punish you. He wants to bless you. If only you would surrender. If only you would give him everything in your life. If only you would give all of you. Conclusion here is surrender starts with an answering to his call. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can struggle our way through life if we want to, but some of us need rest. Some of us are tired of holding on to our problems. Some of us are tired of going in the same direction, which is round and round and round. Feel like you're chasing your tail. I don't understand, God. Why is my life not changing? Because the first thing God wants to do is change you. But you have free will. If you do not give you to him, he can't do nothing with you. You have a free life. You have a free will. You have to surrender it to God. You have to do that today if you have not done it. You have to do it every day. Every day you have to pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow him. Because every day you wake up and you want to do it your way. The song does not apply here. I did it my way. No, praise the Lord.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.